scared. We were in Vermont, and it was incredible the amount of damage that was did. It was just really sad.
Oh, yeah.
I have a confession. I wrote myself a note that said, Switchgrass, Supervisor Underhill.
Yeah.
And I cannot remember what you wanted or what information I was supposed to find out for you.
I was asking you if you had a share program.
Oh, a share program on?
You know, like if anybody wants some of this Switchgrass.
Oh, for yours. Okay.
Yeah, I got
all right. All right, you've got it, and you're wondering if someone would like some.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Basically.
All right, now, it just, you know, 2 weeks vacation,
no,
you come back, and it's
like,
and that's why I made the note, and then I still couldn't remember what it was about. Okay, I will follow up on that now.
I have one. So we gotta be quiet. No talking. No talking.
Hey guys, if you have anything to pass out, I'd recommend we do it now. Pass it out ahead of time.
Yeah, it's coming down the pipe.
All right.
It was good. It was good.
I got this in the manual.
Apparently, I'm going the wrong way.
Hey, stop going the wrong direction.
going the wrong direction.
No. No, John. Aaron.
You get in? Okay.
Yeah, I got this one in the mail.
We weren't sure about
that. We weren't sure if it came in the mail
Did that get mailed? Did that not get mailed? So, yeah. You know what? That tells us that you opened your mail.
Yes, I opened the mail.
I can take it back. No problem. I can take it back if you want because I've got other places to use it.
When people have problems that are completely
I got a phone call.
Why do I get to things that we have no power over at all? What no one is responsible for.
Yep.
Where did they call me?
Yep.
Do they scroll through the website and say, oh, he looks easy, let's call him?
Yeah. Right,
I she didn't say that. I didn't ask for an address.
Or is it next to you?
Your day hasn't even started.
Don't be talking to those city aldermen.
What?
Don't be talking to those city aldermen.
The mics are hot.
Closed history.
Are we on?
We're on.
Okay, thank you. Good evening and welcome to the Planning, Development, Extension, Education Committee. I have all of our supervisors, except for Supervisor
Kohlmeier,
who is ill tonight, and I have our two youth and governance present. We will go ahead and get started with our Extension Education Committee.
Okay. I first, for educator reports, wanted to share with each of you, I think I gave you three brochures on the Master Gardener program. This time of year, we start trying to encourage people to get interested and take the Master Gardener Volunteer Training Program. And we will have an orientation on November 7th. So If you know of anyone that you think might be interested in learning more about gardening and volunteering with the Master Gardener Program, which you'll learn more about next month, if you would share this with them, we'd appreciate it. So, or give me a call or have them call me or whatever. So.
Okay, great.
I'm next. Just a couple things. We had our open house September 28th. It was very well attended. We had about 100 families coming in and out, with about probably a good 30 families hosting with the 4-H clubs and county ride projects and helping explain what 4-H is. As October is the new enrollment month at the beginning of the new year, so we're starting enrollments in all 13 4-H clubs. Also, this Thursday is our Trips and Awards interviews, where kids that are in high school and above age have a chance to apply for trips to Madison, D.C., and also an opportunity to earn scholarships for college level students. Otherwise, I handed out again. I wasn't sure, so I wanted to make sure everybody had a copy of the Neshoshone 4-H Awards Night, which is Tuesday, October 25th, and we'd be honored if you could attend. You'll be here in the rest of the seat. Any questions for me?
Any questions? Anyone have any questions for Barb? I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was quick.
Okay, moving on.
I am next. This is my first time with this committee, so I'm Kristen Lee. I am the community planning educator with Kenosha County UW Extension, and I have two main programs going on right now. One is Leadership Kenosha, which I'm helping Teddy, who's the main facilitator that program, and we had our second session today. We were out at Carthage College, and I don't know if you're familiar with Leadership Kenosha. I won't go into it. It's a 9-month leadership development program for local residents and stakeholders. And my other main program is Kenosha Cows, which you have a little half flyer for. This month we are having a session on how nonprofit organizations can advocate for their organization to legislators. So you're all very welcome to attend. I would like to have a count and RSVP by October 19th.
Okay, great. Any questions for Kristen? Okay, who's next? We're like cruising here.
I think I'm up
there. Oh, this will take an hour.
Or hour and a half.
You may have read in my monthly report a program called Youth Quest. Had an opportunity to speak to several students at Bradford High School a couple weeks ago, and I just wanted to give you a quick synopsis of what the Youth Quest program is. What we've been noticing with high school students is as they prepare for college, research shows that some students don't spend as much time researching their colleges as they need to. It's a big financial commitment. It's a big time commitment. And a lot of time, number one way college students pick a college, anybody want to guess?
Their friends.
Yes, where their friends are going. Number two way?
Party.
That ranks high on the list, right. Typically, it's where their friends go or where a family member went. And what we really challenge young people to do is take a step back. First of all, I lay down the foundation of why you need to go on for additional skill education and training. And I always say skill education and training because you can get that lots of places. Second thing we talk about are careers. And I always emphasize pick something you love, something you're good at, and something that can pay the bills. If you love it and you're good at it, but you can't pay the bills with it, it's a hobby. And hobbies are fantastic. But what you're going on for is to make sure that you're employable. And then the third thing we talk about are how do you pick the right college for you. And a few years ago, I had an opportunity to work with students at Lakeview Technical Academy. And we actually brainstormed questions that you could ask as you go out and visit schools. And we wanted to make sure that we wrote it generically enough that you could use it for a public school, private school, 2-year, 4-year, technical school, trade school, whatever. The big thing I wanted to point to your attention is on page 2. Some of the questions that young people tend to forget is asking about, and you'll see it almost all the way down the page there, what is the career placement rate for the graduates in this major? You know, a lot of times when, now I'll speak over here to Heather. A lot of times when college students go visit a campus, they go check out the dorms, they're checking out the parties, maybe go see a football game, but they're not asking these types of questions. And, you know, if you're going to invest all that time and all that money, you might want to ask, hey, where are your graduates getting employed, and what's their salaries looking like? So just a little plug. I took some students on a trip up to MSOE a few years back. We were met by an admissions officer. Within the first 5 minutes of the visit, he said, we place 97% of our engineering graduates within the first 6 months of graduating from our school, and their average starting pay is $48,000 a year. So, once again, I'm not telling students to go to MSOE. What I'm saying is, go and check out your options. I always tell them to visit 4 schools. Use this sheet to kind of keep track, and then pick the best school for you and your family. And that's my report. I was going to keep it short.
Yeah.
Any questions about this program? In case you know of a teacher, I usually go into classrooms because that's where I get the captive audience. It's usually a 45-minute presentation. I can do groups as small as like 15, and I usually go up to about 100 is still manageable. And I usually like to focus on juniors. Because seniors, especially by this time, it's almost getting a little late in the game. So we really want to focus on juniors and even sophomores. Because I would say you can never start looking at colleges too early. You know, you can go out and just start looking at them. So anyway, if you have any questions, give me a call or shoot me an email.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Any questions for John? No?
You guys got to know.
I'll tell you, it's really tough to get into schools because, I mean, there's so much for the curriculum. Heather, if you want to get me in there, I'd love to come on over and talk to students. So you get me hooked up.
Okay.
All right.
I had a question. I mean,
sure.
The schools aren't—they're not opening up.
I would say this: why I was able to get into Bradford this year, at least through KUSD, they went through a restructuring of the number of credits you need to graduate from KUSD. You guys probably know more about this, and so they came up with this seminar. So in block scheduling, you have 3 classes, and then you have a seminar class, which is basically about 90 minutes, what I gathered of, almost like a night of nothing. I wasn't going to say nothing. It's like a 90-minute study hall. So in the past, you know, it was really tough for a teacher to say, hey, John, we'll give you a class period because they're trying to teach. This year, though, they're like, hey, we've got these seminar classes. Will you come in and do it during seminar? I'm like, absolutely. Love to come in anytime. So I'm looking for opportunities at the other high schools in KUSD, but also, you know, at Central and Wilmot, too. Any teachers that want me to come in. Like I said, it's usually the best way to capture students is when you're right there in the element. So, and I tell lots of great horror stories of students that I've met over the years that haven't quite got this down and what they're doing today. So.
Okay.
I knew I stood up too soon.
Yes.
I wanted to focus tonight on a program that we've been doing for several years in collaboration with a couple other counties in southeast Wisconsin. It's called Annie's Project, and it was actually started by an educator in Illinois Extension who watched her mom, she grew up on a farm, and watched her mom change the way the farm was operating to make it more profitable. And so she remembered what the things that her mom had done and decided that we really needed to empower farm women to help them make the choices they need to make, to help the farm be sustainable and profitable. So it's a program that has been used not only in Wisconsin but in many other states. We collaborate in southeast Wisconsin with several other counties. It is targeted at farm women. We, of course, don't discriminate, so anyone is welcome, but up to this point, we've only had women attend. The goal of the program is to provide them with risk management programs. We've done it for the past probably 6 or 7 years, and each year we try to do it with a little bit different focus. This year we're focusing on retirement, sort of planning for when you're not going to farm anymore. We've done things in the past like marketing, anything as it relates to risk. So it's been a great program, and the women that come really do walk away more empowered and ready to make changes in their farm. farm, and they seem to appreciate that we are specifically targeting them. Because what we hear is women are not, they don't feel as comfortable when they're in that a group that's mixed with men and women. So when they come to these programs, it seems like they're more willing to speak out and have their voices heard. So this program is going to be held in February in Elkhorn. So if you know of any women farmers who you think might be interested in attending, please just pass this along or have them talk to me.
Okay.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I guess one of the things I just wanted to highlight today was that we did bring on 3 new educators in the last 3 months. 1 new bilingual educator and 2 non-bilingual nutrition educators. And we extended the opening for the other bilingual nutrition educator. It's closing next week, Tuesday. So if you know anyone that would be interested, the requirements for the position are a high school diploma. We do all the on-the-job training that they need to be successful in the role and to go out to the community and provide nutrition education. And of course, whether they're bilingual, so we can make English and Spanish. And that's kind of the main thing. We can send out the job descriptions again. I think we've all received them already. So I didn't want to invade you with that, but we did extend the opening for it to next Tuesday. So that's kind of our big update right now. I guess just, I was thinking, because John talked about the seminar piece a little bit of that, where we are also doing some nutrition seminar program there. And we set it up in the food class where the students actually start taking tomorrow, where they're kind of creating their own food network type show. But they have certain criteria that they have to mention in the nutritional aspects of the recipe that they're cooking, food safety tips and things like that. And our goal is for each of the 4 seminar periods that we work in to pick a couple really good segments that the students have filmed and kind of put that together and try and use that in different ways, different organizations in the school, and maybe showing it at the Shalom Center and things like that during pantry hours so that people can see, you know, well, high school students can prepare that recipe. I should be able to do that too. So we're, you know, kind of still working on where we would maybe show that video and things, but we're kind of bringing out the community and doing that. It's been a really fun project so far. So taping starts tomorrow and we're excited to see the first time we've done something like this, so we're trying to kind of think about how can we reach students in different ways and reach them where, you know, with technology that they would be interested in. So so we're excited to see how this project goes and what the outcome is tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah.
Any questions? Yes, Mike.
Where is this going to take place at?
It's at Bradford.
Okay.
So we go to Bradford during the seminar period, and we're actually in their food and nutrition lab that they have there. Actually, 2 rooms, one of them is still like a traditional home ec kitchen. So the students, you know, have all had the opportunity to make at least 1 of the recipes that they're going to be preparing tomorrow in small groups that will be filming the different seminar periods. There's 2 groups in each seminar going tomorrow and then 3 next week. So, yeah, I'll take this
away. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions? Okay, back to you, Teddy.
I also laid a piece of paper in front of you this evening, and it is the invitation for the 2012 Wisconsin Associated Extension Committee's annual meeting. And what's unique about this particular meeting in 2012 is it will be in an opportunity for Extension to kick off its celebration of 100 years. Our organization as Cooperative Extension will celebrate its 100th anniversary. So we're pretty excited about that. And they are going to host an event at Lambeau Field. The meeting is actually in Green Bay. So this event is being targeted at the Hallow Dome of football in the state of Wisconsin. You are all invited. And I say that sincerely, whether you're still serving in the capacity as a committee member here on the Oversight Committee for Extension or not, I June of 2012, the invitation will be extended to all county board supervisors because it's part of this statewide celebration of our anniversary. So I wanted to just give hold the date out there. So even if you don't go to any other part of the conference, come to the event at Lambeau Field. Because that would be fun.
Absolutely.
Though I'm not on the planning committee, so I don't know.
Well, at least you get to enjoy it from this year.
Yes, exactly. I can sit back and enjoy it. My second update is to let you know that we did conduct interviews for the interim QB Community Natural Resources and Economic Development position. And I have made an offer to a candidate. I just got off the phone this evening, and I have a verbal acceptance. So as soon as I can get the appointment contract into this person's hands and get a signature on the line, I'll be able to release a name. But until I get that part, although I sort of revealed gender, didn't I? Well, there you go. Didn't I say he? Now you know. He.
John, what are you going to do? You're not the only
token guy in the office. He can help put the water jugs on the...
Hey, how are we? Share that I completed my time as a member of the search and screen committee for our colleagues on campus at UW-Parkside for the executive director of the Center for Community Partnerships. And they did offer a position, and she has accepted. She will be starting, I believe, in November. And I'm going to forget her name, so I apologize. I don't remember her name. It is a unit at UW-Parkside that has a part of the division of statewide extension under continuing ed, so we do partner with them quite a bit. So that'll be a and then lastly, I will just share that we are one of seven counties here in the Southeast region as part of the counties that comprise Sewer PAC. You're all familiar with that. Sewer PAC gathered all of our seven counties to apply for a federal grant from HUD around sustainable communities. And we applied last year as the seven county unit and learned that our application was denied and didn't make the threshold by 1 point. Sometimes I wonder if it's better not to know that because then you think, oh, there's 1 point. So the money is being reallocated again this federal fiscal year. So Sewer PAC worked with Extension. We would be the arm of the community engagement part of the process for the Sustainable Communities Grant. So we're in it again. Our county executive supported it, wrote a letter of support. I think, Kristen, do you remember when we find out about that? Is it by the end of the year? I apologize, I don't remember that. But the good news is that it's being resubmitted, and because we were so close the previous year, I'm feeling like maybe we could bump ourselves over the top.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm looking at the time. Okay, John, anything else to say? Because you have like 12 minutes.
Well.
Never passing up a chance.
Sure. Couple quick things. The 4-H program right now is going through their re-chartering process for all the groups. And what's really interesting about this is we're learning is that we're doing financial audits on all the groups. And what will happen with these financial audits is the data from that will be sent to Madison, and then the 1,100 4-H groups in the state will be sent to the IRS for a more thorough audit in this group exemption process. But I just wanted to let you know that these groups are all run by volunteers. And it's just, in fact, Beth and I just met with one of the volunteers tonight, just coming in, spending a tremendous amount of time making sure that everything is in place that we can still continue to offer this program for young people in the county. So just a lot of work goes on behind the scenes with types of programs, and this one especially, just a lot is going on at this time. So wanted to mention that. YAR, we're going to be meeting in the committee meeting rooms this year on the second floor of KCAP, and we've got 5 grant applications for next week's meeting, so we're really excited about that. Patricia Gonzalez is our YAR coordinator. She's doing a great job getting out the word. And once again, all those funds come from the United Way. So we encourage youth groups to get out there and apply for funds and going from there. And finally, Beth has something to tell you, because if you're going to try and email her under her old email address, that won't work anymore. So, Beth.
Yeah. I have been to a big non-customer meeting at my honeymoon. So I'm happily married. So it's bethany.sorcy@uwx.edu. We'll get the new email out and stuff. So they're going to let my old textual one go through for a little bit, but it'll eventually go away. So, Sorcy. And the other thing I wanted to pitch into is the After School Ambassadors Program is just getting started this month. I went and visited with the Harborside Academy, Mr. Underwood's class, and chit-chatted with their group. Getting excited, gotten the information. So they're going to be paired up with Jefferson Elementary. And they're going to be going there from 3 to 5, helping with the academics for the students over there, the 8th and 5th graders. It's a partnership between KUSC Boys and Girls Club and the UW Extension Office.
And one final thing, we'll have a report for the committee probably by next committee meeting on youth and governance attendance records. As I've shared with the committee before, you're the oversight committee for the program, and November is when we run all the attendance records for all the YIG participants. And by rule, that the youth set themselves, if there are youth that have attended less than 50% of the meetings, then their status in youth and governance is reviewed at that time. So we'll be very curious to be running those numbers over the next few weeks to see where we're at with attendance records. And once again, you're the oversight committee, so you'll be able to see those at the next meeting.
I'm going to back up and just mention when John talked about youth's resources. Mm-hmm. We have a sort of a cross-fertilization, if you will, between our Leadership Kenosha program and youth's resources. Patricia Gonzalez presented today to Leadership Kenosha an opportunity for a community project. One of the components of Leadership Kenosha is each of the teams within Leadership Kenosha, which is a group of about 2 to 3 to 4 of the participants, they have to complete a community service project by the end of the year. And we solicit proposals from government, businesses, nonprofits to say, do you have an idea for a project to be completed between about November and then graduate in May? And John and Patricia submitted a proposal, I'll let John describe, regarding Leadership Kenosha participants working with YAR. And I shared with John the good news is that one of the teams selected that project.
So oh, good. There.
So on this particular project, we noticed that when YAR grants come in, when youth groups write grants, some of them are really strong. There's a need identified, and you know that the youth spent a lot of time thinking about that project or whatever. But what we noticed on some of the projects, they weren't that strong. The community need wasn't addressed or anything. And we're like, wow, how do we, all these organizations out there that work with people in need, how do we get those organizations matched up with youth groups, school groups, church groups, whatever? And so what we asked the Leadership Kenosha team to do was to go around and interview different nonprofit groups and other organizations that work with people in need and create small descriptions of projects that youth groups could do. Elementary school groups, middle school groups, high school groups, one time or ongoing. And we could list all these and let youth groups know about them. And if they would happen to pick a project and need some funding, then they could come to YAR to get it. But you know, I think a lot of times young people want to help. They just don't know where to begin. And so what we're going to try and do with this project is give them an in on that. So if you know of a community organization that could use some help from a youth service project, let me know. Shoot me an email or whatever. I will get it to the team, and they can add it to the list. And somebody will call you to interview you to see, or the organization to see what could be done. We're just trying to link the need better with the kids that could do a project. And, by the way, I'm really excited about it.
Just
interesting
that they got selected.
Yeah, it's good.
Any questions? Supervisor Underhill.
For Barb.
Yep.
Any charge for this?
Yeah, the Master Gardener Volunteer Program is probably about $150. We do offer scholarships, partial scholarships for people. The cost for the program is basically our cost, so it includes the reference or, you know, manual and all those things. and also membership in the local Master Gardener Association, all volunteer-run organization. And also the state Master Gardener Association pays for their name badges and, you know, all those kinds of things. So that's where it comes from. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. And actually, that gives me an opportunity, since I'll fill in the rest here, maybe here. We're at kind of the end of, you know, the gardening season. We expected it to be a little farther to the end now. But so we are wrapping up. The Master Gardeners had to have all their volunteer hours in October 1st. And so part of what I'll be sharing with you next month will be the hours that they have put in and some of the projects that they've worked on this past year. But they also, at October 1st, we also start looking forward to next year. So other community groups that may have put in project requests, all of those are reviewed in the next few weeks. We've also started what we're now calling Level 2 Master Gardener Training, and that's for our existing Master Gardener volunteers, a more in-depth class. So this fall, it's native plants and environmental and ecosystems and that kind of thing, one of which I taught the three different places. We're also in the process of developing those curriculums at a statewide level, so we have really high-quality programs throughout the state. So you may be seeing where I've been working on some of these state-level curriculum things. That's what I've been working on. So we have all of those, and we're kind of wrapping up. The other thing we've been working on, again looking forward to next year, is our commercial landscape short course, which is in February. So we're in the process of lining up speakers. We're also looking a little bit more. There's some new research about sustainable, low-input, organic kinds of lawn care and other kinds of things. So we have a little more of a sustainability bent with next year's course. And I just sent out the email today to get Master Gardeners to work with me. So we're planning our Spring Into Gardening, which is a day-long event in March. So, you know, we just barely get the season wrapped up, and it's kind of like there's never a stop. People always say, what do you do in the wintertime? Well, it's really busy in the wintertime because we're planning and getting ready for next year, too. So busy time of the year. And I look forward to sharing the number of hours and what the Master Gardeners have done with you.
Great. Any other questions? Thank you very much for your time. Children, they're going to take them away from me. So I know. Right now,
anxious for the end of budget season.
Overly anxious. You do know that there was an issue tonight, right? We have three very unhappy tower owners.
Reasons I'm here.
Okay.
Well, I can send you.
Now, I did meet with two of them
Monday. Which ones?
Jerry and
Oh, okay.
And then Ross Schwartz.
Okay. So. Well, Dennis was telling me last week that Ross is he's okay. Mr. Geekin, do you want it, or is Andy going
to? I talked to him today. Yes, he's not even coming today.
Oh, he's okay now?
Yeah, he's okay. Yes.
Well, I guess I need it for the...
The yellow sheet's right on the charge sheet, and then the town approvals are at least.
Yeah, I'll need it for the...
All the minutes are behind here, and I need each one.
Okay. As long as it's 7, yeah.
We're going to start the Land Development Committee meeting. Call the meeting to order. It is 7:03. Oh, sorry, April. Okay. We have all of our committee members here present, including our two youth and governance, except for Supervisor Kohlmeyer, who is ill this evening. First on our agenda is... This is a public hearing for HireCom Inc. Ken Schleger. Do I need to read this whole thing?
I will.
Okay, thank you, John.
Okay, I'm Mr. Schleger. Item number 3 on our agenda this evening, HireCom Inc. Ken Schleger, West 233 North 2080 Ridgeway Parkway, Waukesha, Wisconsin 53188. Agent requests a conditional use permit to allow the co-location of an antenna and supporting electronic enclosures on existing antenna towers in the following parcels: 60-4-119-172-0200 in the PR1 Park and Recreation District, located in the north one quarter of Section 17, Town 1 North, Range 19 East, Town of Randall, which is owned by the Powers Lake Sportsman's Club, Post Office Box 88, Powers Lake, Wisconsin 53150. Owner, okay, let's see. For information only, this is located on the north side of County Truck Highway F, approximately 220 feet east of County Truck Highway P. The next one, 60-4-119-241-0101 in the A1 Agricultural Preservation District, located in the northeast one quarter of Section 24, Town 1 North, Range 19 East, Town of Randall. This is R&E Schwartz, LLC, 31315 93rd Street, Burlington, Wisconsin 53105. Owner, for information, this is located on the south side of County Truck Highway F at the intersection of County Truck Highway FR. Next item, 95-4-119-022-0230 in the C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District, located in the northwest quarter of Section 2, Town 1 North, Range 19 East, Town of Wheeland. Gerald W. and Muriel Grill, 338-807 Geneva Road, Geneva, Wisconsin, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105. Owner, located in the south side of Geneva Road, approximately 500 feet east of 341st Avenue. Next item in Salem, 65-4120-0420230, located in the A1 Agricultural Preservation District, which is in the northwest one quarter of Section 4, Town 1 North, Range 20 East, Town of Salem, Margaret E. Sheehan Family Trust, under will, 27901 60th Street, Salem, Wisconsin, 53168. Owner, this is located on the south side of County Trunk Highway K, approximately 0.5 mile east of County Trunk Highway B. Next item also in Salem, 67-4120-342-0103 in the A2 General Agricultural District, located in the northwest one quarter of Section 34, Town 1 North, Range 20 East, Town of Salem, George G. Geekist, P.O. Box 8, Trevor, Wisconsin, 53179. Owner, this is located in the southwest corner of County Trunk Highway C and County Trunk Highway JF.
Next, in the town of Brighton, 30-4-220-351-0100 in the A1 Agricultural Preservation District, located in the northeast one quarter of Section 35, Town 2 North, Range 20 East, Town of Brighton. Matthew P. Ludwig, Trustee of Family Trust, 4330-232nd Avenue, Bristol, Wisconsin, 53104. Owner, this is in the west side of Country Highway EW, approximately 465 feet north of Country Highway NN. And finally, last, in the town of Summers, 80-4-222-082-0302 in the A1 Agricultural Preservation District, located in the northwest one quarter of Section 8, Town 2 North, Range 22 East, Town of Summers. Benjamin J. and Betty Harbuck, 900 100th Avenue, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53144. Owner. This is located on the west side of 100th Avenue, approximately 0.25 miles south of the intersection of Country Highway A. We would ask that you identify yourself and basically explain what you're asking for this evening.
I'm Ken Schlager. I'm president of HireCom, Inc. We are a contractor to Kenosha County for the deployment throughout the county of a broadband public safety communications network that will be used by law enforcement, firefighting, and EMS. It also can be used on lower priority basis by public works and other public functions. This is the third phase of a program that began back in 2009. The first phase was to demonstrate that the technology would work. It was a county-sponsored program to do that, and that was concluded. Then in 2010, a phase one contract was granted to HireCom to demonstrate the operability of the system in the in a rural environment, a suburban environment, and an urban environment. And that was concluded in February of this year. In July of this year, the contract for the phase 2-3 was granted to deploy the network throughout the rest of the county. And these seven antenna sites are part of the 16 antenna site network that will support this public safety communication system. Kenosha County is one of the first in the nation to have broadband public safety communications. The advantages of it over traditional voice system, which will still remain the same, is that they are able to transfer high-speed data and video in real time and do a lot of functions that couldn't be done with the voice communication system that's been traditionally used in public safety. Now, in applying for the permit, we did three things. One is we submitted the paperwork for the use permit to each of the towns concerned here, and we also submitted a composite list to the county. The second thing, we began negotiations with each of the owners of the towers, antenna towers, to get a contract for them representing the county so that we would have the right to install our equipment on their tower as part of our network. And the third part was related to the landowners of these sites, and which we are now following a policy that these consent letters from the landowners will be obtained through the tower owners or managers. Early on, some of the landowners had contacted us and we had talked to them, but we quickly came to the conclusion that the only way to deal this was through the tower owner managers, because they have contracts with these landowners, and we really have no business getting in the middle of that. So we will deal with it. Now, I will go through, with your permission, each of these and what the status of them is now. Is that right?
That's okay. Yes, go
ahead.
Yeah,
I could just start with the first one, which is the this Sportsman Club parcel, which the county calls RAN 1. This is, the tower is owned by American Tower Corporation out of Massachusetts. And we have concluded a contract with them, signed a contract with them. And we have requested that they would obtain the landowner's permission to go forward with the installation so that we get the use permit approved. So we have a contract there with the first one, RAN 1. The next one on is called RAN 3. This tower is owned by Tower Company, and we are presently in negotiations with them to conclude a contract. We have all the paperwork into them, and we have asked them to get the permission of the landowner in order that the use permit can be approved. The next one is in Wheatland, and this is a U.S. cellular site. And again, we have asked U.S. We are in the process of completing a contract very close for them, and they have said that they are working with the landowner to obtain permission. So the next one is the Salem one, SAL one. That is also owned by American Tower Corporation. We've concluded a contract with them, and they have sent letters to the landowner, and they have told us that they think they will have a signed letter within 5 days. In the same way with actually the first one, RAN 1, they said they would have a letter of permission within 5 days. The next one is Cell 1. Next one on the list is Cell 5, antenna tower, and that is owned by T-Mobile, cell phone service provider, and the landowner, George Ekus. And we are negotiating with T-Mobile to have a contract with them, and should have a contract within the next week. And they have said that they will be discussing this with Mr. Ekus, and they hope to have a signed letter within the next 1 to 2 weeks. The next one is BRT2 in the town of Brighton. That's owned by the Susan Ludwig represents the estate. And that is also BRT1 is also a U.S. cellular. We are negotiating with them. We have had some direct contact with Ms. Ludwig, but again, we want to follow the policy that we prefer that the approval letter from the landowner come through the tower owner, which is U.S. cellular, and they say they will do so. The last one is SOM 3. SOM 3 tower is owned by Global Tower, and the property is Mr. Harbach. And again, we are working with Global Tower partners, and they we have also had personal contact with Mr. Harbach, and they expect to have a signed letter within the next 5 days. So that's the status as now. Actually, the only signed letter we have is for the tower in the village of Bristol, which is not a concern to this panel, but that's all signed off, ready to go. Bristol will probably be our first installation. The use permit is approved, the landowners agreed, the contract it will probably be completed by early next week. We also have permits into the city of Kenosha. Most of the towers there are publicly owned, but there's one, 1011, that's owned by US 7. So other than this, we have only four other towers left that are not part of this hearing. We have one up just on the border of Racine County, which would be handled by Racine County, one for the village of Pleasant Prairie, and one for the village of Twin Lakes. Those would be our last four, and we plan to pursue those in the month of November. But our hope is to have these approved such that we're able to maintain our schedule. We're starting to do installations starting with Bristol in October, and we hope to follow those with one so that once a week we can be doing the tower installation with the hope of having the tower installations done by the end of November or early February. So that's kind of the status of where it is.
Thank you, Mr. Schlager. I see several people here. I think we should probably take these one at a time as we go through them. I don't know if anyone wants to speak on them. Is there anyone here for the Power Lake Sportsman's Pub? No? Okay, the next one would be from the town of Randall. No. What is this?
Next.
Schwartz. R.N.E. Schwartz.
That would be me.
Okay, could you come up to the table, please, and state your name and address? You may have to pull it up to your mouth. Sorry.
My name is Ross Schwartz. I reside at 31315 93rd Street in the town of Randall, and do have a cell tower on my property. And this is the first. The first I heard about this whole thing was just last week when Jerry Grile came to me and told me about it. It had gone through Randall. Randall never notified me that this was through the town, that this was going to be up at the as an agenda item or anything. So when I found out about it, I went to the town of Randall and asked them, why wasn't I notified? And the answer I got was, we just assumed you knew. So I wasn't notified from Aircom or the tower company or anything until just on Monday. Tower company was the first time anybody notified me about any of this.
We requested each of the towns when we handed them the paperwork to give it, to send it to the landowners. We can't force them to do it. Some of them did, some of them didn't. But we did request each town, talking to the town clerk, please give the information. And Randall was the first meeting that we went to, and we asked them to send it to us. So, but you never received information?
No, in fact, I had never heard of any of this until, actually from anybody other than another tower owner, until Monday of this week. So only 3 days ago. When the tower company, which is tower company, notified me.
Mr. Schwartz, how many co-locators are on your tower right now?
Many what?
How many co-locators are on?
You speak up, please, I get here.
How many co-locators are on the tower?
Different antennas from different companies.
Antennas, yeah. From the different companies?
As far as I know, I think there's three.
Okay.
There was the original, it was the Nextel, which is now Sprint. I know there was one other one, and then Cricket was on there also.
Okay, were you notified each time one
yes.
of the co-locators? Okay, and was it by the town, or was it by?
Initially by the town, yes. And at that time, tower company didn't own the tower, though Nextel still owned the tower. And then there was compensation for putting additional antennas on the tower.
Okay. Does the committee have any questions?
I guess I have a question. Do you understand the purpose of it now at this point, or?
I'm starting to understand it, yes. But you know, there's a lot more to this than just for the police department and fire department too. That it is going to be a public, as far as I understand, that anybody can get purchase their internet through this system, but. Yeah, I'm learning about it, but am I really briefed on it? I haven't had the time to really learn about it, no.
Okay, I just wanted to get your knowledge on it.
Do you have any real concerns about this at this time, other than you weren't notified?
Well, you need to speak up.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, but the microphones don't work very well.
Try it. Here, use this one.
That was just for his purpose.
Well, not being notified was a concern. There's no question about that. And I'm sure we can work something out with Eric on for my consent, but at this point, I'm not willing to give my consent until, you know, there's some negotiations either with them or with the tower company, which there really has been none of at this point. I talked to Jason. I went to the Wheatland meeting and on Monday, and I talked to Jason from Ericom, and he said that, you know, that he would go back. It would be talking to me going forward, but he didn't. Even at that time, he said, "I don't think we'll be able to do anything by Wednesday of this week."
So. I just like to emphasize, we have no power to negotiate with the landowner. Landowner has a contract with the tower. We can't negotiate with you. You know, because we have to work through the tower owner in order to install.
Well, that's, you know, that's what you might have to do. But like I said, this has only been around in my officially for me for 3 days, and so there hasn't been any time for any type of real face-to-face negotiations of any sort. So
yeah.
Are the approvals of these conditions time sensitive, or with any landowner that has issues, may we table specific items?
I would prefer not to table. I would put the conditions on there pending approval.
We had hoped that there could be an approval subject to the approval of the landowner. That's what we hope to know, and that's from my discussions with Mr. Bueller would be that we couldn't go ahead and do anything until we have landowner approval, but there would, because everything else, all the paperwork is in, we're negotiating the contract and so forth. In some cases, we have a contract, that it would be just conditional on the approval of the landowner. That would be the best thing for us in moving forward. That way, as the letters, as we get approvals, then we can move ahead with each one, rather than having to come back to a meeting next month. Which would not be good for us to hold for our schedule.
Okay, I see that listed in the italics under number one on the conditional use permit. So, okay, thank you.
Okay. I guess at this point, all I can tell you is, you know, I'm very sorry that Randall never contacted you. I hope that you are able to work out something with the tower company so that we can move this forward.
And I certainly don't necessarily want to be to slow the process up, but to get my consent, you know, there's going to have to be some negotiation.
Right.
So, all right.
I understand that. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, no.
Supervisor Holman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Some of us have been living and breathing this project to a certain extent for the last 3 years. We have a considerable amount of documentation on it that's been presented to the Council of Governments for the towns and villages to take a look at. It's been in the county board budget. It's been something the county executive has talked about. It's been a hot debate topic in the finance committee. So it's been out there. Is there something that we have in terms of the scope of this project that we can give to you that would make you feel more comfortable?
No, I don't think it's anything from the board that Gene, but like I said, I want to, you know, I have no problem with the project. That's not, certainly not my issue. And, you know, it's, reality is, it's a compensation thing. And any other, you know,
cell companies have gone on that tower. That's kind of what has happened. So,
unfortunately, the compensation thing, we can't do anything
about.
I know
you can't.
I was hoping there was something we could do to at least make you feel a little bit more comfortable.
And that's, you know, that's just the honest answer there. And it's certainly not the board or even the project itself sounds like a good project to me. I have no problem with that. So,
thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other questions for Mr. Schwartz? No? Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. Okay, the next one is?
Wheatland.
From Wheatland, from the town of Wheatland. Gerald and Mariel.
Ryle?
Ryle.
Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes,
okay.
That's why the microphones are really important.
Okay.
Muriel L. Ryle, 338-07 Geneva Road, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105.
I'm Gerald Ryle, same address.
We initially found out about this project when we received a letter from the town of Wheatland by the commission stating that we were going to be included on the agenda for meeting about this project. And up until then, we had no idea, nothing, had not been contacted. And I do question whether or not it was the town's responsibility to notify us about this project. As Mr. Swartz said in the past, whenever we dealt with somebody, you will sell your homes on power, Verizon came on to it. They dealt with us because that's the way our contract reads. I would think it would be the responsibility of another company to find out, you know, whether or not that is complicated and one of us, or at least to notify us, give us a heads up something that, you know, some project was in the works. That didn't happen. When we went to the planning commission meeting, I think the board there was rather surprised that we weren't notified either. And I don't think they felt that it was their responsibility to notify us other than some, you know, our name on the petition, or was used to petition. So as far as these negotiations that are supposedly being taken place between HireCom and UN Cellular and us, we've not heard word one. But then again, we did have the town board meeting Monday night, and we did meet with a different representative this time of HireCom, and he seems willing to work with us. And as a matter of fact, we requested that the issue not be tabled at the town board. We were more than willing to work, you know, with the company, with the project. Again, it does come down to some form of compensation. Mr. Schlager? Schlager indicated they would like to go as high up on the tower as possible. Well, so with other companies in the future, and we've been told that there will be active inquiries about locating there. So they would not be coming down the tower without compensation either. I guess our initial issue was just the way it was approached. You know, the whole project was just like, we write a lot, and we didn't care for it too much, to be honest. Maybe it wasn't a business type attitude towards it, but, you know, it is a form of income for us. My husband's 67, we've been thinking about retiring. I've had to with my issues. So, yeah. During the initial meeting, or post-meeting, we were told that there wasn't going to be some form of compensation, which that's cleared up during the town board meeting Monday night. There were several representatives there regarding the project, and it's a whole different atmosphere, which is why we did request that the project be not tabled, you know, so we can come to you with consent. I think you must have received something from the Wheatland regarding the limits to this project.
Yes.
Same. With consent of the landowner.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from the committee?
Again, I'd like to emphasize that we have no power to negotiate. We can only work through the town hall.
No good. You're supposed to negotiate with the landowner in this case. And Mr. Schwartz is here.
If I speak from here again, but in the past, when, and I remember the other one that's on there is Mobile One, but when Mobile One and Cricket both went on the tower, they negotiated with me directly. But Dell, now granted, Nextel owned it then, things might be different, I don't know, but that's kind of how that went to get my consent.
Well, who is the tower on?
Now it's Tower Co.
Right,
at the time it was Nextel.
This is strictly the same, do you think it's one
that
that's a
proprietary? No, I don't exactly remember.
See, our difficulty is we don't know what the contracts are between the landowner and the tower owner and manager, so we have really no choice but to work with the tower owner and manager because we don't know what that contract is, what their agreements are, anything.
Wouldn't that be your responsibility to find out?
If I may, I'm going to have Mr. Laycock, who is our director of IT, come up to the front table. I think he can probably answer some of these questions.
So I guess.
Mr. Laycock, can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Martin Laycock, 4717 Lathrop Avenue, Senior Staff.
You will need to pull the microphone real close to your...
Is that?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So I think that as I'm sitting in the back listening to what some of the issues are, I'm not hearing issues about the project. I'm hearing issues more about how it's being executed and what communications are going on with the tower owners, the landowners, et cetera. We'll figure this out. We'll negotiate with the right people. We'll figure out if it's a tower owner or operator that we need to work with. If it's the landowner, we'll work directly with them. So throughout this project, we had intended to pay properly for space on towers. We've never intended to just take tower space or do something that would harm a landowner, tower owner, or operator. So I think that, hindsight is 20/20. You know, I think that we sent out a lot of information to, we identified, Dr. Spotter has identified the towers, he sent out information to the tower owners or operators that were identified. I think we missed a step on getting the consent from the landowners, and I think we're kind of reeling back a little bit from that right now, but we're, we want to work, with everyone to get this project in. So definitely very beneficial from public safety, very beneficial from broadband, from a commercial aspect. There is positive things for the county that this will do. And, my apologies for stumbling a little bit. I'm getting you the right information at the right time, and we'll be better at communication.
Does the committee have any questions for Mr. Laycock? Mr. Laycock, if you have business cards for some of these people so that they can make sure that they're in contact with you and the process goes a little bit smoother throughout here.
They have my card.
Do they?
Yes, as well as
Okay. Is there anyone else here that I have one more person in the back that needs your card. Okay. Do you understand where we go from now? Do you have something?
Yes. Mr. Schlager was mentioning that he has to negotiate with the tower company. In the past, we have U.S. Cellular is the owner of the tower. We're the property owner. When Verizon came on, Verizon went through us and also through U.S. Cellular. So they had Verizon, they negotiated with us, and then also negotiated with U.S. Cellular. So the contracts are saying he knows what the contract is, where it's going to set. So I don't know why they can't negotiate with us directly.
Well, as Marty said, he's our boss. And whatever way we have to negotiate, we will. We've just been told by the tower owners that we've dealt with to stay clear. But, you know, we have to do what's right. So whatever we can work out with the county and with the owners, we will.
The project won't be able to proceed without that letter anyway, so I'm sure that they will get something worked out with you.
Another question. I'm a week involved in your fire department, and I know they're talking about this being for the sheriff's department, and it could be for fire departments also. I don't know if the board realizes how much it will cost if we were to put this in our fire trucks, and who would take care of this, because we're looking at least $2,000 a truck, and then to get a Peter, you're looking at another couple thousand dollars. We're looking at some big bucks for the communities to actually go on this also. I don't know if the board realizes this. Have they discussed this in the past?
Well, the relays won't be funded by the county. The individual communities won't be asked to pay for relays. The only thing Mark, you can comment on that. The relays will be funded by the county.
So what we're doing is upgrading a mobile data communication system that we have for the county sheriff and police department right now. So the fire department, the township fire department, does not have mobile data computers or systems that depend on this frequency that we're upgrading and putting in place. So there is an opportunity for your fire department to upgrade its capabilities, investigate what software would be good to, you know, that you would find beneficial. It's not for the county to say, you know, you need to be running these things. What we're doing is providing the infrastructure, the backbone, that if you want something on your fire truck, you can run over this network and it will be high speed, it will be up to 20 megabytes, you can stream video, you can stream blueprints and plans and do those type of things over the network. So we're just, we're not forcing people to go on, it's your choice if you want to use it or not. We think that people are going to want to use it because it's 100 times faster than what's in place today. So. We've got issues from the state government that we're not compliant with encryption for our systems that need to be addressed. And if we don't get that fixed, we're not going to be able to have people from the squads call in and get information about traffic stops and people. So, you know, it's very important for us to move forward with this. But again, we're upgrading an existing system for the police and the sheriff. It's providing new opportunities in the future for the fire department, for EMS, for those type of organizations as well. You know, we will help, part of the project, we will help fund the modems for the devices. One of the things that, you know, we're looking for people to do is that if you wanted to increase capabilities, you would probably, the next closest thing is an air card, and those are about $35 a month for usage. That's probably what we would say would be the charge if you were going to get on it for, say another fire department or some other use. So it would be comparable. Air card is 1 to 3 megabytes per second. You know, we're saying 10 to 20 megabytes per second. So I think we're being quite fair.
Have other communities? The communities that have fire department, police departments in them, when you switch over the system, if they don't switch over, are they going to be able to communicate with you anymore? It's the way it sounded the other night. Once the system changes over, everything else is going to stop.
It depends if they
There are some of the police departments that use our infrastructure, the county infrastructure, and the infrastructure by joint services. So if they are using the same systems, you know, the same system for mobile data computers, yes, they need to change. So, but again, this is data. This does not affect voice. So any of the activities around narrowbanding, the radio upgrades, those things that are going on in the communities are, you know, it's not affected at all.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sheehan.
From the town of Salem, Sheehan. Is there anyone here representing them? Okay, and from the town of Salem, Mr. Geekus. I don't see anyone here for him. Town of Brighton, Matthew Ludwig Trust. Come forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
Susan Ludwig, 4330 237 Avenue in Brighton.
And do you have any questions?
No, I didn't want to be speaking.
Oh, okay.
I just can't tell us.
Okay, so you're okay with the project and everything that's happening?
Well, I'm in the process of learning a little bit more, so I have not talked to yourself directly yet. I tried to contact them a couple days ago, but they haven't contacted us.
Okay.
I'm the trustee of the trust at this point, so I'm going to talk to Mr. Schlager, and I did get a letter from Brighton, and I got the letter from the county, so we learned about it last week, but I'm just still learning, so I'm interested to talk to you outside of course.
Okay, please make sure that you give Mr. Laycock's business card, and he can help you through the process, too.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. And from the town of Summers, Harbach. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Ben Harbach, and I live at 900-100 Fifth Avenue in Kenosha, 531-44. I live in the town of Summers, but that's a very good address.
And do you have any questions for the?
No, my comment would be the same as the initial person. And the other couple found out about it, got a call from one of the secretaries at the town hall about 10 days ago, said I need to sign a letter for filming people on the tower. I said I don't own the tower. And Monday night at the planning meeting, and then that was my first exposure to what was going on. And that would be 2 days ago.
Okay. Do you understand the project and are you?
I understand what it's about now a little bit. I do not know physically what goes on the tower. There was a diagram, but I'm not sure where it's going to be placed or anything like that. Not that it's any of my concern, and I don't know the tower, but I've got a concept of what's going on, and that's basically it.
Do you have any questions for Mr. Schlager at this time?
Other than I have not heard from the tower owner, and if he's supposed to give me a letter, and I'm supposed to sign it within 5 days, I'm not aware of it.
Okay. Could you please get Mr. Laycock's business card on the way out and make sure that he walks you through the process?
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions from the committee?
Thank you,
Supervisor Esposito.
Mr. Laycock, I'm to understand that this project will not proceed without these landowners signing off and saying that they're okay with placing this antenna on the tower. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
That's what I want to know. Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the committee?
Make a comment for you, Kelly, for the committee, just so you know, one of the conditions listed here states, it's condition number one. It says approval of this conditional use permit is contingent upon receiving the property owner's written consent and the tower owner and the proposed VC signing a final lease agreement for the co-location height. A copy of the aforementioned signed written consent forms and lease agreements shall be submitted to the Department of Planning and Development prior to the issuance of any zoning.
Thank you, Mr. Buehler. Okay, from the towns?
Yes. The town of Randall approved their request on September 22nd. Motion carried. Town of Wheatland was at their October 10th meeting, and the Town of Salem approved at the October 10th meeting. I must have missed summer. I'm sorry, Town of Brighton, Town October 10th as well, and Town of Summers, October 11th.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee?
I'll make a motion to approve this in regards to the cooperation with the tower owners and the conditional use sign off on the owners of the property.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Esposito and a second by Supervisor Decker to approve this regarding with the conditions that were stated. Do I have any other questions? Youth and Governance, how do you vote? The rest of the committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. It's approved subject to conditions. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We have a couple copy of conditions if the property owners want to.
For the property owners that are here, we have a couple of copies of the conditions that are you are welcome to take with you.
I don't think any other extra copies. Andy, here's another copy.
Here's another one too.
I have one.
And Mr. Laycock, if you could address the
you got enough?
Microphone issue in this room, that would be great too. I'm sure now that you've been able to experience the fun that we have. Thank you.
Did you have enough?
Our next item is review and possible approval of a resolution appointing William Martin as county representative to the Vaults Lake Management District Board. That he comes recommended by the Vaults Lake District, the Town of Salem, the Kenosha County Executive, and he was interviewed and recommended for approval to this board by the Kenosha County Land and Water Conservation Committee yesterday. He is aware of this responsibility as being a liaison between the Vaults Lake District and the Kenosha County Land and Water Conservation Committee to follow the Kenosha County Land and Water Plan. So he is aware of his responsibilities, and we would look to you to recommend him to the full county board.
Thank you, Mr. Roth. I know that Mr. Martin is not here this evening. I did have a chance to meet with him yesterday as well as Supervisor Underhill. I thought that he was well-versed in what he needs to do with the lake over there, and he does understand that he needs to report back to the committee on a yearly basis now. So do I have any questions regarding Mr. Martin that Mr. Roth or I could answer? No, then I would entertain a motion.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Hallman and a second by Supervisor Gable. Youth and Governance, how do you vote? Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Mr. Martin has been approved. Thank you.
We have no certified surveys.
Okay, we have no certified surveys. Approval of the minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I have a first by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Underhill.
Sorry, revise September and October.
Motion to approve both September meeting, September 14th, 2011, and October 10th, 2011 minutes.
Supervisor Underhill, do you concur?
Second.
Thank you.
Yes.
Youth and Governance? Committee, how do you vote?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Minutes are approved. Citizen comments? Are there any citizens to speak here tonight?
I'll let you talk on this one.
Okay. Please state your name and address for the record.
Well, it's in the 4705 in our first avenue, most of the staff, 5
Lee Nyström, 29725 49th Street, 75.
And you are here about the
quarry,
Adams Sand and Gravel Pit.
Surprise.
Okay. We're a month later. What's our update?
Well, the update is, what I have is, I was in contact with Ms. Pirelli. She is refusing, refusing for us to come on the property, basically. We do not have, at this time, any legal standing to go on there.
Last time we were here, a month ago, your attorney was to get in touch with one of us. We left our names, numbers, email addresses, our addresses. We have heard nothing from them.
Is that Pastor Frank?
Yes. It was given to Frank. It was given to our county attorney. He has formed an opinion, and he's forwarded to Madison for a second opinion. His summary, his brief summary, is that he considers this would be a private nuisance, and he would recommend that there would be counsel on your part to pursue it from that angle, and he would then discuss that with the attorney of record to potentially maybe assist in that direction, give some advice in, as far as a personal nuisance
goes. What are we doing about the flagrant use of the property that's not under their the ability of them to take any materials that they're not supposed to take? Your inability to go to the property or get permission to go to the property, what are we supposed to do? Are we just supposed to go away? Or are we just supposed to go and spend money, get an attorney, and go through this entire process all over again? I mean, this is getting ridiculous. All we're doing is going around in a circle, in a circle, in a circle, for the last 2 years now. Frankly, I'm getting tired of it. I imagine most of y'all are, because it's not going to be resolved. It's not going to go away.
Again, I indicated last month, and I will say again, this, you've been very patient, and I understand you're very concerned.
Well, we were told last month, John, that your attorney was going to contact one of us.
Yes.
He did not do that.
Okay. It was my understanding prior to that that you were bringing the attorney to the meeting last time.
Wouldn't have done it.
And I know this
was... Your attorney wasn't here.
No.
If I had spent the money and brought my attorney, what more, where would we be further today than we were last month?
The attorneys will have met, and it would...
No, no, he wasn't here, John.
No, in the, if you had an attorney, he would meet with your attorney.
Your attorney was not present.
I know he wasn't.
So I should spend money, bring my attorney here, and you should say...
He doesn't have
okay,
to come...
Next
your,
time?
Your attorney doesn't have to come here to meet with our attorney.
Okay.
They can set any other time, whenever they want to meet.
Well, he can also pick up the phone and do as you said he was going to do and call us. He did not.
Apparently, he wants to meet to with legal. I'm in a very awkward position here to request that you hire an attorney, and I don't like that, but that's the advice I'm given. I can only go with the legal advice I'm given.
Okay, and what do we do about what the use of the property is being at the quarry? It's being misused, as we've represented through photographs. I followed a truck the other day that was dripping with oil, obviously from asphalt. You can tell an asphalt truck.
Well, we would like those pictures.
Well, I understand that, but what
I need to have hard evidence. Okay. We've been to the site. Andy and I went there. We photographed. We took pictures of. Apparently, we also compared it to what we had by air photos years ago. The pile is in the same location and it's shrunk. Okay, of the pile that we can see.
Right.
We did contact the DOT. The DOT indicated that nothing has left the site to her location as far as asphalt or whatever. Is that correct, Andy?
Correct.
So it's not coming from the Highway 75 project, according to DOT.
Okay, well, I don't care if it's coming from Timbuktu. They're not to take in other product. They're to mine and take product out.
That is correct. But I need evidence to show that they are.
Is that the permit that they have to use the property for?
They cannot, they cannot bring in other material.
Okay.
Other than fill.
And what constitutes fill?
Dirt.
Can they bring in asphalt?
Dirt.
No.
No.
Dirt.
Dirt.
No concrete.
No concrete.
Okay, well, I don't understand. So what are you going to do to get on site?
At this time?
She's not going to give you permission. Let's go there. So what are you going to do to get on site and resolve the issue?
The county board supervisors do not have any legal authority to go onto a person's property unless we get a court order. In order to have a court order, we have to have proof that she is doing something wrong.
And in order to get, proof, you have to go on the property.
That is correct.
So this is a catch-22.
Yes, it is.
So we all sit here going around in a circle and accomplishing absolutely nothing. The last thing I want to do is come here and spend my time, nor yours.
And I understand that
in a competition, because it's not between you and I.
Right.
Correct.
It's the wrong use of the property per your description and per their permit and their grandfather clause, which the grandfather's probably been dead a long time in reality. Because when Kenosha was using it, if Kenosha let it go dormant, I would venture to say that when this, and I don't know this, you can't tell me, obviously, because I've asked and it's not been given. Kenosha had the property the other day to go dormant because they weren't using it. Then they sold it to Joe Blow. He sold it now to them.
Correct.
And I wish someone would tell me, was there a 12-month period?
Our records indicate, whatever we know, our knowledge is that that was continuous operation.
The entire time that
it was
Kenosha
not,
owned it, they ran 7 days a week.
That doesn't have anything to do with it.
You
asked about whether it was dormant for a year, and my answer to that was no.
Okay, it was not.
Correct.
You guarantee me that?
That's my knowledge.
Okay. And your knowledge comes from research, someone researching for you? Because last time I asked you a month ago, you didn't know. I asked you this 1 month ago, and you said, I don't know.
I get my information from Public Works Department that it was in continuous use. Of as far as the grandfather clause, and we also, that's our understanding from the next owner as well, that he sold it with an understanding that there was a continuous use and it was not vacant for a year. That's our understanding as well. Records, that's not our job to go research where, who owned what, when, how, that we don't have that.
No, I was asking for the county.
Yes, I understand. That's my knowledge that it was.
You work for the county. You're one family.
Yes. Yes.
So wouldn't it be very simple to say, okay, did it operate from January to January? Did it operate from November to November? When did it operate?
There was no lapse
of time.
It needs to sit dormant for 1 year.
But I'm saying, has anybody looked into that?
The Public Works Department is telling us that it did not sit dormant for a year.
Public Works?
Correct.
So where do we go from here? Legal?
That's what I'm being advised.
Different suggestions.
Okay.
We would advise you to get legal counsel and have them contact our corporation counsel and get the opinion that was done. I know that it was sent up to Madison probably a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, John. And we hope to get a review of that and have it sent back down here. The other thing that I would suggest is after a review of the Sheriff's Department records, they have only received 3 phone calls in the last year.
I have made more than three phone calls.
And you probably have, but I need to make sure that these are on record. We cannot do anything if there is not a paper trail of these phone calls.
You know, we've done all the blame for you. We've made the phone calls. We've left our names and phone numbers. We've documented it in letters, and now it's, you know, they only say we've had 3 phone calls. That's crap. Between Tripp, myself, my neighbors, we have made dozens of phone calls over the past couple of years. And if this is, if they're saying they only received 3 phone calls in the month of July, I know I personally made at least 3 or 4 in July alone and a couple in August.
I can only go with what the Sheriff's Department has given us.
Crap.
Well, are they not documenting? What do we need to do? I mean, I don't know what else to do. We've got a phone tree already in place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do other than go in there, and that's, and I'm not an unlawful person, I'm not going to go there. So, other than putting a consortium together and buying the damn property and getting them the hell out of there, I don't know what else to do, because I'm running into a brick wall with all y'all.
I understand that you're very frustrated, and I have to tell
you, I'm beyond frustrated.
That the committee itself is extremely frustrated. We have banged our heads against the wall with this one, and we don't know what to do to help you.
So we got nothing. All right, thanks. It's been a real pleasure.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Mark Solaro, 4990 Canada's data, so Wisconsin 53168.
Pull it a little bit closer to you,
I'm frankly called that you can sit there and hide behind legal counsel. I'm an elected official also, member of the Brighton School Board. And I know if information came to me like this, I would do what I needed to do in the interest of the citizens, the students, or whoever I represent. And I am very disappointed looking at you guys right now, saying that you hide behind legal counsel and tell, oh, I really feel your pain. You're wrong. You have a job to do. It's not our job to do your work. I would like to ask Ms. Decker, you're our representative. What have you looked into this for us?
What do you mean by looked into?
Well, we sat here last month. And you represented us, correct?
Correct.
What have you done in the last month?
She has worked with our office. And
I would like to know. I'm asking her, and not asking you, Mr. Law. I'm asking Ms. Kennedy. What has she done to represent citizens who came in here and said we're willing to sign on oath, and that we know something's going on that's wrong, that's in violation of a land use policy, and you sat there and listened. And your constituents are sitting here, and what have you done personally?
I have discussed with the chair of the committee and other members of the committee different things that we can do to remedy this situation.
And what things? Please explain.
Things that that the chair of this committee has brought up to you.
What things? Please explain in your words.
Getting proof from you of the trucks going in and out of there via pictures. Discussed possible noise ordinance violations. We have discussed the phone calls that apparently the sheriff's department has said that only 3 phone calls have gone in. Obviously, you guys say that more have gone in. And then discussed what Corporation Council has told us or has recommended. And I also, last month, after the meeting, I did call Ms. Hagstrom and discuss with her some items.
Now, what I don't understand is when you say that legal counsel is advising you in a certain way, when you have decent evidence, do you have photographs of piles of asphalt on the land?
No.
Oh, haven't received those yet. Okay. If you receive
them. We'll back that up.
Okay.
Are you saying you don't have the
photographs we sent to you?
Yes, I have photographs, but I do not have piles of asphalt that have been brought in from
any asphalt
documented property. Brought in.
Okay. No,
is it the presence of any asphalt evidence that there's asphalt being trucked in there?
Have you heard what I said? They are proof that the asphalt was there several years ago when the air photos were flown, so they were not brought in recently, from what I've seen.
Okay.
I do not have documented evidence of recent brought in asphalt.
We do not have a way to get onto the property to take any pictures.
Okay, now, you as a governing board, you have no recourse. If you know something is going on, or you have a feeling, you cannot go to a judge and say, we have reasonable evidence. That's garbage. Because I know if I have reasonable evidence as a school board member, I would be able to just take necessary measures. My legal counsel advised me, he said, here's what we need to do, we have to do proper steps, but there are ways to do it.
Okay, well then you just answered your own question. You went to your legal counsel, so did we.
And your legal counsel has not contacted anybody, like you said.
We're following our legal counsel's advice.
Has your legal counsel contacted anybody involved in this project?
He would like to speak to an attorney.
He's had the names. Why hasn't he?
He's waiting for the opinion to come back from Madison.
But why can't he talk to them ahead of time? It's all a big waiting. The big thing was the 6 to 8 weeks for Holly to have her chance to do whatever she needed to do. You know what? Next month, it's going to be 8 weeks from that time period. Isn't that convenient? So your attorney should have contacted somebody right away, as it was told by this board that they were going to do. And you failed for a month. Correct?
We gave...
Did your attorney, as you said they were going to do, and did your attorney contact anyone from our agency?
I contacted the attorney.
I
cannot speak for him.
Why didn't you follow up on him?
I did follow up with him. I did tell him the outcome of this meeting.
What did your attorney say he was going to do?
He said, as our chair indicated, he was going to forward his opinion to Madison to make sure that they get another legal opinion on it, and he advised that you proceed as a private nuisance.
So my question was, you were asked to have your attorney contact somebody here.
I did tell him that.
Did you inform your attorney to please contact somebody?
Yes.
And he didn't do it?
Apparently not.
Well, why not?
I don't have an answer for that.
Well, that's your job.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's not your job.
I conveyed the information to him.
And you don't have any follow-up at all. So you give something to your attorney and then you forget about it.
No.
Until it's
we're
a
not,
month later,
sir.
And here we are again. I'm asking you, do you have any follow-up on any other thing that you deal with your attorney with? Do you follow up on it?
We are doing everything in our power on this issue.
When you ask somebody to do something, do you follow up on what you've asked them to do? Or do you just assume it's done? Please answer me. Do you follow up when you ask somebody to do something from you, sitting at the director?
We have talked about this multiple times over the last month.
Correct.
And we've been to the site. We've talked multiple times with the committee, with the attorney. We have his answer. I've given it to you 10 times already this evening.
Question I asked you. Did you follow up at all from the meeting last month?
Yes.
And did you speak to the attorney at all?
Yes.
Did you ask him if he's contacted anybody?
I told him...
Did you ask him if he contacted anybody?
No.
Why not?
I gave him the request that we
the request,
told him...
He's your employee. He's your attorney.
He's not my employee.
He's legal counsel, and we as county leaders are paying for him? Yes. We pay for him. So if you ask him to do something, he better well still be doing it. Correct.
I'm not speaking
That's
for him.
Do we pay for him?
Yes.
Okay. So therefore, when you request something of him, should he be doing it?
He is following up by... He has a legal opinion that he... Well, I'm sorry, then you'll have to...
Should he be following up?
Call him yourself.
No, why should I be... No, see, that's the incorrect answer. That is not my job. Your job... As an elected official, when you request something of your attorney and your counsel, is to follow up on it and make sure he's doing his job. Correct?
I asked the legal counsel what they were doing about Holly Pirelli. He said that he had sent the opinion up to Madison and he was waiting for his response. I did not ask him if he had called anyone on the list, and that is my fault.
Will that be taken care of?
I will call him tomorrow.
Okay, now, the question being is, you as a board, when you have reasonable concerns that somebody is violating the land use policy, that you cannot get a judge to go on the land, it's completely amazing to me that you as a committee cannot talk to your counsel and turn around and say, you know what, we need to get out of that property. Because, you know, we have reasonable costs.
I have given a lot of suggestions to legal counsel of how we should get under the property that I'm not going to state here. But I can tell you, we have looked at everything. We do not have the power to just walk onto her property. We can be arrested. That is us trespassing on private property.
What if I'm...
We cannot go to a judge. He's going to say, where is your proof? That he's not going to give us a court order on our instinct or our feeling.
If your proof are the pictures we sent you and signed affidavits saying every person here has seen whatever, we will sign it, we'll state in the court of law under oath that we have seen these trucks. We have the truck with the license plate number. You have enough evidence to actually go to a judge and say, here's what we need to do. We need to get out of that front.
That is not enough evidence.
Why not? Why not? If you feel personally, or maybe not even personally, if you feel as a board that you think that somebody may be violating the land use policy.
You have to have proof.
Okay. Now, where do you, as a board, look at it and say that, you know what, this is completely wrong, and we need to figure out a way to do it, and not hide behind counsel and say, I mean, obviously I know we have to do things correctly. We have to, you know, not the eyes across the T's and everything. But when you have pictures, we have license plates with a truck, and we have people willing to sign under oath and go in there and say, we've seen this happen. You have eyewitnesses.
But you yourself have not been on their property.
Drive into there. You can't find you. I follow a truck that went in there and get a license plate.
You drive into the property itself.
No, we can't drive in the property.
Exactly.
But we watched a truck drive in. Mm-hmm. Okay, I watched a truck drive in full.
But you don't know if that truck is unloading.
That's okay. It's driving there for a purpose. Okay, there is reasonable cause. Okay.
Would you suggest that we go on her property, set up a surveillance camera, trespass, so that you have the proof so you can get on the property? That's ridiculous.
No, I would not suggest that.
What are you saying?
You keep saying there's trucks of asphalt going in there. We don't have any pictures of trucks of asphalt going into their property.
Send somebody out there and watch it, John.
We do not have the manpower to sit out there.
Your staff.
Well, what I understand is you, the board, sit there and know that your land use policy is being violated. And I don't know if a person here, colleagues, know about what's going on, but I tell you what, if it was next door to you and everything, I think you'd be doing whatever you could, like you were doing. And you, as a board, need to represent us correctly. And you, Ms. Decker, you need to do that too. You're our representative here, and you're on this committee. And we need answers, and we need action. And this is ridiculous because she's bearing this stuff. I have someone with a disability, and this stuff can affect his lungs, and it was there, and there was black all over my yard. Okay? You know what? No one's even thought of it. I'll take a picture of it. If I had a couple of pictures of black all over my yard, that's probably 3/8 of a mile away. Would that have been evidence enough? No, it would have been circumstantial too. But you place enough circumstantial evidence, and you know what? It leads to something correct. If something wrong is going on in that property. Just like you tried to bring in the bad fill from Great Lakes Naval Base, she's not opposed to doing anything illegal. And this is where you, as a board, need to push your counsel and take action. Because every 4 weeks you wait, it's 4 weeks more to get rid of the evidence. And it's very sad that for me to look at you, I sit there as a bunch of officials. And if I was sitting in your position, I'd be doing a little bit more. So I hope that you step up and do your job and not hide behind counsel waiting back and forth and getting legal representatives from Madison. What, they're not capable of running Kenosha County? We don't have a competent legal counsel that they have to run to Madison? That's completely ridiculous.
Before the opinion is presented, he wants to make sure that someone in Madison has looked at it.
Why are they not?
To make sure that we are doing everything that we can.
Okay, and then that needs to be portrayed to us, the citizens, who are concerned here. And there needs to be information flow of what's going on, and it's not happening from the county to us. And it directly affects us. It could direct our drinking water,
and we're very concerned about both that, and I would think that the board would be concerned about someone violating your land's policy.
We certainly understand your concern, and we are very frustrated too.
Well, stop the frustration. We need the action. Okay, being frustrated is means that, oh, well, my hands are tied. You're hiding behind legal counsel. Find a way to do it.
In order for us to find a way to get on there, we need your help.
We've been. I think you have the pictures. You have pictures of basketball there. It shouldn't be on that property. Say you had a... So you looked at pictures from before and not, correct? When did the last fire?
April.
Okay, so that was there in April. That's what you're saying.
It's about the same size pile.
5 years ago?
And then...
As 5 years
no,
ago.
My understanding is when Ms. Corelli bought the property, there was a pile of asphalt there. And the last flyover, the pile is smaller. So you can conclude that it has left, more has left the property than has come in. So that's...
Well, we don't know where it went. Is it buried?
Correct.
I mean, that's the key. Has she buried it? Has she brought it? I mean, how do you know?
We don't.
And how do you know that that little pile is sitting there the whole time and you just add to it? Do you know that? Do you know that you can assume? How can you assume that more asphalt is not where the lot is? Then excavated, then buried, then covered over that little pile
that's
sitting there.
We are not going to get into this.
No, but what I'm saying, Mrs. Decker said she can assume that more is left, and that's what she said. And that is completely incorrect.
The pile is smaller.
Completely, yes, but does that mean that more asphalt is left? The property is what you just said, correct? Isn't that what you just said? We can assume that asphalt is left the property.
We see a smaller amount.
I'm asking a separate question. Is that exactly what you just said?
That's it.
It's a smaller amount.
And what you said is you assume that asphalt has actually left the property.
When she bought the property, she was told she needed to get the asphalt out of there.
Okay. And what you just said, I just want to make sure it's correct on the record here, that you said that you assume that asphalt has left the property since that pile was lowered.
I assume.
You assume. Could that be a correct assumption? Could more asphalt be brought in and be covered in the
water? We're not going to go on speculation. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to cut this off.
Right. Okay, that's fine. But to hear a board member say, we assume it's less because of that, when you have no evidence of that, we need to bring you evidence, and then you're assuming evidence of you're assuming what's done by the aerial forum.
Sir, you want us to go on that property and do illegal things that will get us arrested.
I want your legal counsel to
find a way to do your job. If we walk onto that property, we will be arrested.
And I want your legal counsel to find a way to do your job because there's reasonable cause
and
that any proper use
tomorrow.
Of the land is being done.
I will call him tomorrow.
Let him talk.
Okay. And get an update. If I can get your phone number, your name and phone number, I will call you back. As soon as I get confirmation from legal counsel.
Sure, I think you have the other phone numbers too.
Okay.
People know.
Okay. Thank you. Any other citizen comments? Okay, citizen comments are now closed. Any other business allowed by law?
I have none.
I'm just going to give a quick update about the budget. For those members that were not there on Monday, our extension education budget was passed. The planning and development budget has been tabled. If you were not aware of that already, we will need to set another time to discuss it. There may be a closed session regarding part of it, and then we will have to come back into open session. So if everyone can get me their schedule so that we can figure out a time to meet, that would be great. I'm sorry, Wednesdays will not work for me. Let's try that. I don't have anything else. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion
to adjourn.
Second.
Let's try that again. One at a time.
Motion to adjourn.
First by Supervisor Hallman.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Underhill. Youth and Governance, are you ready to leave tonight?
Yes.
Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.